As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
In 2021, Shake Shack was looking to hire a new chief financial officer. The fast casual restaurant chain found the perfect candidate in an unexpected place, Wall Street.
I had worked at Goldman Sachs for about 16 years. I was covering the restaurant sector.
Katie and I worked together for a long time. She was an analyst covering our stock. The day that I knew I was looking for a new CFO, the day that I announced it, I went to our recruiter and I said, what about Katie Fogarty? I remember working with her. You think she might be interested in this? That same day, she had heard about it and went to her family and said, this is the job I want. Literally that same day.
It was something that, you know, I always wanted to take a more of a leadership role at a company. We hit it off.
Katie Fogarty spent the first part of her career asking hard questions about corporate strategy. Now she's responsible for answers.
I think that there's a number of things that a sell-side research analyst can lend to a company, especially a company that is in, you know, high growth mode. One, it's just really a very firm, you know, ability to analyze strategic decisions, to really get into the numbers, into the models, and to have a firm view of different scenarios out there.
When those Wall Street executives move into the company seat, they bring an understanding, hopefully, of the fundamentals, company sector, but also what it means to be a stock. The total stakeholder perspective includes shareholders.
How are we measuring the incrementality of a great offer like this?
Katie's skill set, so uniquely, is able to harvest in her mind so much data and information, turn it quickly into tremendous insights that end up driving our strategic priorities. That is her sweet spot.
I look at a CFO from Wall Street as someone who can bring a breath of fresh air to a business that often can become very inbred.
They're extremely grounded in data. They're curious about data. They're pushing the data. They know what to do with the data and tie that into telling the story.
There's a reality check that Katie brings to the business to say, you know, I know you think this, but let me tell you what the data is really telling us here.
She's still looking at data to predict the future, only now she's taking it a step further.
Before, it was a lot of kind of sitting almost in an armchair type basis and analyzing different pieces of information to see where I thought the best investment dollar would be allocated. Here, it is actually driving a plan of how we can best maximize shareholder returns. It is about leveraging data analytics, driving real insights through, you know, not just your own guest data, but leveraging statistical models and really kind of figuring out where the best strategic decisions will be made over time. This is an industry that really needs that type of analysis that helped the strategic vision now more than ever. And so it was incredibly exciting to start to apply that here at Shake Shack.
Shake Shack began as a humble hot dog cart in New York's Madison Square Park. It opened its first restaurant as a kiosk in that park in 2004. A decade later, there were more than 60 Shake Shack restaurants around the world. And in early 2015, the company went public. At the end of 2021, Shake Shack and its licensed partners operated nearly 400 locations in 16 countries. At least 60 more are expected to open by the end of 2022.
We always feel like we're just getting started at Shake Shack. Somehow, you know, we kind of describe ourselves as a public startup. We have a huge footprint and white space out there that we can grow globally, and we're going to continue to do that.
The pace of expansion is nothing new for this company. What may be different is the shape. Shake Shack has thrived in high-density urban locations, which provided 60% of revenues before the pandemic. But return-to-office patterns during COVID have been unpredictable, hampering sales growth in cities. Now Shake Shack is exploring new formats as it extends its footprint in suburbs.
Yeah, this is not just a reaction to COVID. This is stuff that we've been working on before. What COVID did was accelerated the pace and excitement, frankly, for some of the things that we'd been planning before. Drive-through amongst them as the most important.
We were right at a pivotal moment of thinking drive-throughs were obsolete. And then COVID hit and it was a saving grace.
When you get out into the suburban areas, drive-in becomes incredibly important because that's convenience. And if a significant percentage of your business is drive-up, you need a smaller facility. So the investment can be smaller.
This is the first time the company has ever, you know, put in a drive-through. We opened up our first one in December of last year. We have six open. Very exciting stuff.
Drive-through lanes offer long-term opportunities to build revenue and increase margins. But right now, they carry a higher price tag.
Overall, we've seen a rise in our build costs. We've talked about 10 to 15% higher build costs across the board. Things are just costing more. It makes site selection ever more important. It makes all of the work that we do in real estate and that whole process, incredibly more important.
Since Katie Fogarty became CFO of Shake Shack in June 2021, inflation has risen at a record rate, making her job that much harder.
Everything that enters our business, commodities, foods, cost of building restaurants, is getting more expensive. I don't see that ending anytime soon. And I think we've got to continue to plan for it.
If you look at the price of beef, if you look at the price of dairy, eggs, all of these core things, even paper and packaging, it's just meaning that everything costs us more and more and more, and we're not alone. This is happening to the entire industry right now.
The industry is also dealing with a sea change on the labor front. Hourly wages have soared, and the Great Resignation has hit restaurants hard.
Labor costs aren't going down because of the training and turnover at the 30, 60, and 90-day mark. If someone's, can even figure the job out, do they stay? And that's still not under control whatsoever. So while maybe like the actual wage inflation can taper, turnover and training costs are still elevated.
We've invested more than $10 million in our employees over the past year, and we're going to continue to invest more. We're testing 4-day work weeks to help, especially our working parents kind of juggle that balance between childcare and your work. I know I deal with that all the time. This is really a people-first company. And even in an inflationary environment, you're going to see us continue to lead with our people.
Do you worry at all about a price wage spiral, not just here, but in the industry, in the economy?
Yes, and I think that, this is something that, many business leaders are focused on, and time will tell kind of how all of this lands.
I think the wage price spiral continues for quite some time, and I think we probably have been a lot less aggressive than we can be and than many other companies have been.
In terms of raising prices?
Yes, we've taken our time. If you look at the 20-year history of pricing in this company, we've taken about 2% a year on average. We've never taken what we could. We've always taken what we should. We have to pay people more. We have been and will continue to do so. We'll take a little bit of a margin compression on that as we've had to. And I think that's the right thing so that for the long term, Shake Shack continues to be what we're building, which is the next generation's burger joint.
Shake Shack margins have come down from pre-pandemic levels. At the same time, the company's cash position has improved.
During COVID, we actually took two opportunities to raise capital. We have a fortress balance sheet like we've never had before. Good timing, good planning. So when we use that money, we're looking for a great return.
The area with the highest potential return is right in Katie Fogarty's wheelhouse, advancing Shake Shack's digital transformation.
It's amazing to sit here and think that this is a company that had essentially hardly any digital sales prior to the pandemic. And when the pandemic hit, we went full force on digital with the app, web, with third-party delivery. And here we are now with, 43% of our sales still coming from digital channels, even as our in-Shack business has
and
doubled.
And that doesn't count the kiosks, right?
That does not count the kiosk.
What kind of investment was that? Was it a home run? Is that something where you're like, Randy, this paid off big time?
Well, it's something that we continue to invest in, and we continue to see opportunities to improve our app, improve that guest experience, improve the ways that we're incentivizing our guests to really lean into our digital channels. If you simply, kind of look at what the higher frequency we get from those digital guests, moving more and more of them into the channels and continuing to invest to drive frequency of that base, it's a really good recipe for strong long-term traffic growth.
Nobody ever says make it complicated. That is why Nationwide makes simplicity a priority by providing financial professionals with straightforward, client-ready resources. From clear strategies to help clients meet retirement savings and income needs, to ways to cover rising healthcare costs and more, Nationwide simplifies planning so more time can be spent helping clients. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
From its early days as a kiosk in Manhattan's Madison Square Park, Shake Shack's brand has combined simplicity and style. The menu features classic items with a creative twist, while the ingredients and service are a significant step up from fast food. The concept was an instant success, but maintaining growth and staying relevant comes with a complex set of pressures.
We've come out of the pandemic with a new world, and where something that might have been an evolutionary change has been a revolutionary change. We've made changes to the way we eat, we've made changes to the way we operate that might have taken years have been compressed into months and days.
The role of CFO in a company like ours that's so dynamically growing, so constantly changing, and focused on digital is critical. Katie plays such an amazing role there. She's not just moving numbers around. You know, this is not your grandfather's CFO anymore.
Chicken Shack and an iced tea for you.
The digital infrastructure, the way we think about things now, is a monster that needs to be fed all day long, every day, and is always hungry. And you could probably have 150 digital priorities today that all our teams will fight about. Ops wants this, tech wants this, marketing wants this, I want this, Katie wants that. Katie's job is to take all that prioritization, think it through, understand which one is going to have the best return on capital and which ones have no return on capital, and you still got to do them anyway. That's the reality of the world we live in right now, and it's critical to lead that in the right way.
I visited a Manhattan Shack with Katie Fogarty. Our first stop inside the restaurant was an ordering kiosk.
Then on the burger side, you can see the option here for the bourbon bacon jam burger with shallots on top, the avocado bacon burger as well, our beloved Smoke Shack.
The kiosks are an investment in engagement.
We just see a guest kind of sit with the menu and really appreciate and understand how they can customize their order or the different add-ons that they have. So we really do believe that this provides them with an even better experience than going to the cash register.
What's the payoff? I mean, the cost to put one of these in compared to how much more a customer spends on the kiosk?
We do see a very nice lift off of the kiosk. And actually, this is not even very fancy kiosk technology. It's an iPad. What has more investment tied to it is just the constant innovations that we've had to make the kiosk functionality better and better. And you know, we're driving towards kind of a parity situation where the kiosk and the cash register have exactly the same functionality. And we want the kiosk to be able to identify who you are and what you like to order when you come into the Shack.
Improvements like these take resources. Shake Shack's general and administrative expenses have risen as the companies put capital behind digital initiatives, and the changes ripple out from there.
As our digital evolution has been underway, we've had to make a number of adjustments to the layout of our current existing Shack base and really rethink the flow of the Shacks that we're building in order to really capitalize and enable and let our digital business thrive. In many Shacks, we've taken out cash registers, we've moved them around. A lot of times it's two or three cash registers that are just taken down to one. We've had to really rethink the way that the flow of our guest journey is in our Shack. So one perfect example of it is we put in pickup shelves here at most of our restaurants. Guests who are looking for that to-go experience can come in and pick up their order to go, and they don't have to sit there and wait with everybody else who is waiting for their food ready to be made. We are constantly monitoring and identifying ways to be better in the kitchen. And it also goes down to the products and the types of offerings that we have. You know, we never want to have something that is going to overly complicate our team members' journey. We don't want to have something that's going to slow us down operationally. So you'll see a lot of our LTOs just really be building on core menu ingredients and allowing our teams to kind of do a little bit, you know, different with what we already have.
LTO stands for limited time offer. It might be a special shake flavor or partnerships like a recent venture with distiller Maker's Mark. But Shake Shack's core offering is the burger. And it's not just any burger. The company pledges to source premium meat that's ethically raised and costs more even when inflation's not at historic levels.
I've heard a lot about the importance of the quality to you guys in terms of ingredients. Doesn't that get expensive, especially right now? Quality beef must be, rising.
Yes.
Rising in terms of price.
I mean, we've always used premium ingredients, and those premium ingredients, they come at a higher price. We always have an eye on the margin. But we know also at the end of the day, you're running a very dangerous game. If you're trying to reverse engineer into something that, you know, you want from a P&L standpoint, the guests might not like it.
Shake Shack standing firm on quality, and it's also practicing transparency, announcing plans to raise menu prices by 5% to 7% in the fourth quarter of 2022.
Shake Shack is the best example, the definition of a fantastic value proposition. However, not all customers across this country have, you know, that change in their pocket to pay for that average ticket at lunch or dinner. And I think they're very comfortable with that. And I think it's very interesting and very different than what others are doing. I mean, it is who they are. They're not trying to escape it. They're not trying to be something they're not. And the fact of the matter is, if they picked a different path and it's fine, it would be hard to pivot back.
We are serving fresh, whole muscle, hormone antibiotic-free beef. That is a totally different thing than you're going to eat at nearly all other restaurants, certainly traditional fast food. And you got to pay more for that, and you should want to. And when you see things like 10 for a dollar or 2 for $5, we can't do that because our ingredients cost more than that to bring it to you, and you should want to pay more for that.
And frankly, who am I to argue?
So crunchy, the bacon's so crunchy. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's delicious.
I might finish this.
Nearly 90% of Shake Shack locations in the U.S. are company operated. Around the world, it's a different story. The business has grown internationally by working with licensed partners to operate restaurants. That's a trend they intend to keep going.
Today we have Shake Shacks in 16 countries, everywhere from China to Singapore to the Philippines to London and beyond. We see it as a huge white space opportunity for us.
Many restaurant brands struggle to move outside of their own core market in the United States. Perhaps it's something that's very New England, and when they try to move outside of the New England area, guest reception's just not there. Or it's a West Coast brand that takes 50 years to bleed across the country. The thing about Shake Shack and the magic about it is this is a company that can sit here with only 200 restaurants in the US today, open up one in a tier two city in China. And the guest reception for that restaurant is mind-blowing. These are some of the largest opens that we've ever had.
We have big plans for our licensed business. It's a really asset-light, cash-accretive business for us. We love it. And we love it when our partners overseas make a ton of money because they're gonna build more restaurants. We're gonna all continue to grow.
I mean, there's so many opportunities for us to add to our licensed business. And certainly, I get so many text messages from people traveling the world. If there is a Shake Shack there, guess which one this one is. And if there's not one, why don't you have one here?
The first Shake Shack in mainland China opened in 2019, and there are now more than 20. Although the government's zero COVID policy has weighed on revenues, the company is committed to expanding its presence.
China is a fascinating business for us. It's one of the most exciting and biggest opportunities Shake Shack has. Over the initial couple years of the pandemic, they fared much better than we did here and much better than most places around the world. Today, it has been erratic. It's been lockdowns, it's been closures. But here's what's amazing. The resiliency of the Chinese people, our team over there, is unlike anything I've witnessed. It is one of the toughest places to do business in the world, but our brand seems to be really resonating with people over there right now, and I see it as one of the biggest areas of growth we have at Shake Shack.
Restaurants haven't been resonating with Wall Street recently. The sector has underperformed the S&P 500 for much of 22, but the industry is historically resilient.
Restaurants are undervalued right now. As a person who has been following restaurants since I had hair, I think restaurants are probably the most flexible and most creative of businesses that we have.
The routine and the social engagement happens at restaurants, and that's not changing just because we may or may not go into recession. It just isn't going to change. And so the restaurant stocks will rebound. This industry is the third largest employer, you know, of all the population of workers in this country. I mean, this is like the fabric of the economy. And the economy will rebound and restaurant stocks will go up.
If you want to trade in and out of Shake Shack, you know, you this may not be the time for you. If you are a believer in the brand of Shake Shack for the long term, like we are and have been, we're going to create tremendous value for our shareholders over time. We've done that. Shareholders should measure us on, are we building things for the long term? And if you want to be here for the long term, my sense is Shake Shack's going to be a good bet.
One of Shake Shack's long-term assets is a bright new CFO. Katie Fogarty now has a year of experience under her belt. I wanted to know what she sees when she looks ahead.
What's the opportunity for Shake Shack in the next 10 years that excites you the most?
I have to say it is in watching our people grow and develop. I see a very strong growth roadmap here for the company in terms of units and sales potential. But what that really means at the end of the day is that our hourly team members are able to grow a career with us in a way that is unique to Shake Shack and cannot be found at many other restaurant brands. We have a number of people who started off as hourly team members and are now making six figures and have equity because they've grown up through the system and they're paying it forward by training other people to allow them to have such a great career path as well.
What's the challenge over the next 10 years that keeps you up at night?
It also goes with people. It has been a very challenging staffing environment for the restaurant industry as a whole. It's been well telegraphed that, you know, some people have just left the industry altogether. And so, you know, we know when we have high turnover, we're not operating at our best. And so I do think that there's an amazing opportunity that once kind of the world stabilizes and returns, you know, back to normal, that we have people considering the restaurant industry as more of an exciting long-term career.
In terms of your role as CFO, how do you see that, or your role with this company, changing and developing over the next 10 years?
I think that, you know, it becomes ever more important to have a great grasp on the insights that are driving your business, on the factors that are driving your business. And, you know, that's very important for a CFO to do, but also to collaborate with other business leaders within the company to help, you know, kind of cross-pollinate strategies. You know, whatever I do in a vacuum is not going to be nearly as impactful as our entire executive leadership team coming together and acting on something. And I think that that is ever more apparent sitting on this side of the table than it was on the other side as a Wall Street analyst.
Speaking of that, what skill or what area of knowledge do you think has helped you the most in your first year as CFO?
I would say just a lot of grit. This has been a very challenging industry for sure. I never thought it was going to be easy, and it's proved to be quite the learning opportunity. Coming in every day just excited to learn something new and make a difference wherever you can, knowing that I'm sitting here with a team of people growing a company that will potentially have an impact on a number of people's lives going forward.
So what advice would you give someone else then who maybe is watching and gets promoted to CFO? What advice would you give to a future CFO?
What advice would I give to a future CFO? I guess it would just be get into the details, super, super deep, and really kind of understand and ask a lot of questions, peel the onion. I think a lot of people just don't go deep enough and don't ask the questions so that you actually cannot, you know, if you're not versed on what's going on, you can't find root cause and you can't drive change. So, you know, I would say get into the details, have an open mind. It's an incredibly fun job for sure, working with people who are coming, you know, everybody's aligned here to drive the future of Shake Shack, but everybody comes at it from a different angle. So it's very exciting to work with an amazing team of people.
I'm Matt Miller. This is Bloomberg.